This meeting is being recorded.
Hello, everyone. David Creel, world's best double eagle coach, with my friend and fellow newly minted, soon-to-be Ziegler coach, Thomas Walker. How are you, Thomas?
I'm doing well, David. It's great to see you. Great to see you. And thank you for the connection we made at the conference. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, we met at the Ziegler Coaching Summit, and it was, we were like fast friends.
Yeah. Over breakfast.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah. Breaking bread with each other. So,
yes.
So if it's all right, we'll just get right into it. What would make this a powerful conversation for you?
You know, how about the next powerful conversation? Because we've had one when we were talking over breakfast, and you pulled a couple of things out that got my attention. And so a powerful conversation would be to walk away with something else to build upon. You said newly minted a moment ago, and I thought, wow, newly minted. And that's kind of where I feel right now. I feel like I am newly minted.
Awesome.
There's something there. I'm not the same guy that left the conference that showed up there.
Awesome. Okay, so what would you like to talk about?
I want to talk about the wall.
Okay.
On the other side of that conference, on the other side of where I am right now, there's something on the other side that I feel it in my gut. And it kind of feels like, can I really do that? Am I really worthy of that jump? And it's been there all along. And that's something you've made mention of. But this thing has been here all along. But David, I just can't seem to feel or know how to get on the other side of this thing. And it's almost like that block has been there. I'm 65 years old. Ever since I can remember. I remember a guy telling me one time, I was 21. Just moved to Texas, and he said, your problem is, Walker, you're afraid of success. And at that time, I thought, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. But I remember that conversation like it was yesterday. And there seems to be a wall. And I can feel it even in my gut. And I don't even know how to get on the other side of it. But I think the bigger thing might be, am I even worthy to get on the other side of it? And I've done decently in my life. But man, I probably screwed up more, sabotaged more than I can remember. And I should be on the other side, but I struggle with that.
Okay, so what do you think's on the other side?
Personal greatness. And I say that from this sense, David. All of my life, I have felt less than. And just really, really, really just a brief synopsis. My dad used to physically abuse my mom terribly. One day I came home from the park. A friend of mine said, you need to go home. Your dad's beating up your mom. I'm 10 years old. When I get to the house, the ambulance door's open. My mom's in the back of it, bloody, face bruised. They closed the door and they drove away in the ambulance. And no one ever talked to me about it. 2 years later, I come home from school. I'm at my grandma's house. I walk in the door. And the news says, man kills woman on South Side. Story at 5. They were bringing my daddy, my father out of this boarding house. He had killed a lady, not my mom. He had killed another lady, his mistress. Nobody ever talked about it. It's like it never happened. I was 12 years old, but the community put this blanket over us. Those Walker boys, stay away from them. They're no good. Now I got a bunch, several other things. You know the story of what Coach Nate said the other day about that kid who was abandoned in high school. I've had these stories, but I started writing the book about 2 years ago. I'm done with the book, but I don't want to release it because I got so much in me that book brought out. And then even more that I was revealed to me. So this is the first time I'm getting to the point where I could say, there's always been this shame thing hanging over my head. You're not good enough. All of that's been there. And in spite of that, I have felt, but I got through it, But the reality is, I have not been all that I can be. And I know that. And I still deal with rejection. And now I'm just more aware of it. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. Oh, and by the way, this is not what I was going to talk to you about.
It works out that way sometimes. So whenever you said you don't feel worthy or qualified, basically is what you said, right. According to who?
According to me, I guess. This is my thing.
Well, yeah, but you said that you've had a story running in your mind since as long as you can remember. So if right. The story was in your mind, you didn't put it there. Someone else put it there.
Well, if I had to label it, I'd say father wounds.
Okay. So do you think is your dad still with us or is he passed?
He's passed.
Okay. So are you trying to live up to a certain expectation of what your dad had for you?
My dad had no expectation for me at all. My dad was an abusive alcoholic that had 10 children. I was the youngest out of the 10. My dad grew up in a horrible situation, so he didn't know how to be and do. And I didn't realize all that. I didn't get that breakthrough until maybe a couple of years ago.
Sure.
But he didn't have any expectations for me at all.
Okay, so if that is the case, do you think you're somehow trying to impress him, even though there was nothing to be impressed by or with?
No. What I think is when I analyze or when I look back in that season, my dad's behavior cast such a dark shadow over all of us that it's not him. It was, how do I feel better? Or how do I get where I want to go? Not even knowing that I wanted to go anywhere. It's about my dad, but it's not. It's about acceptance. Because in that season, there was so much of a dark shadow cast over us. And I'm just coming to grips on this, David. This is not something I wrestled with for 10 years. But now that I'm woke, I'm just trying to figure it out. But I also know that I've had so many great opportunities. I've accomplished things that my family members, my family and dad, as the youngest, I've become the oldest. But I've buried, my dad had four children from his first relationship. And I say relationship because I don't know if he ever married him or not. I don't even know if he ever married my mom or at what point. I kind of figured that out later on in life. My mom was such a beautiful woman, such a sweet woman, such a loving woman. She had to leave. I'm 11, and she had to leave, get away from where my dad was because of his abusive nature. I went with my grandma, and she basically raised me. And then she passes away or goes in a nursing home. I'm 14. And basically, I just needed to survive. And my mom had six of us, my mother. With the exception of one, I buried each one of them from the obituary to the grave with no assistance from any other family members as they went one at a time. They died with the hurt that I live with. And they basically drink themselves to death. And we never dealt with these hardcore issues. So I left the industrial sales career, lucrative career, and became a full-time youth pastor. I was in probably one of three, maybe four full-time youth pastors in the country in a black church. And around the city, there was a time and they still do now say, oh, he's the godfather of youth ministry, basically, but that pertains to the black church. Black churches don't typically hire full-time youth pastors. That was a 15-year season of my life. And man, it was phenomenal. But I realize now, why would you leave a career and do that? Because I wanted to be subconsciously to those students what I wish I had. And then all of that ended. I senior pastored for 10 years in the hood, down the third ward. And my goal is to put the neighbor back in hood. I got that from my brother. But that was my season that I really thrived. Wasn't making a lot of money, walked away from all that, but I've got a wonderful wife. But when I walked down, when I look and say, when were you most and you felt like you were doing what you're doing is when I was in that season. Problem was, most of the senior pastors and folk I know in that community, we're all about the same age. They didn't appreciate. I felt unappreciated. I felt unaccepted because what I was doing was so different than what they were doing. I'm matter of fact, I'm working on my master's in biblical theology right now. And I kind of wonder, had a tough semester, but I kind of wonder, why did you feel like you needed to do that now? And I come down to the point where, you know what? It's an acceptance thing. Yes, I want it, but do I want it more than I want to be accepted? So, or my daddy's youngest son has a master's degree. And if I do that, don't nobody care, but I do. So when I say I see something on the other side of this bigger than me, but still, there's a wall there that says, how do you get there? And are you even worthy of it? So it's a.
Are you worthy of it?
Does it matter?
Does it?
Am I worthy of it? You know, the fact that I didn't give a profound yes means something different.
Well, just because you didn't give a profound yes doesn't mean you're not worthy of it.
You know, I told you, you heard the story that was given to us by Coach Nate. And that football season in my senior year, when all that came rushing back in Friday, a week ago Friday, 2 weeks, when all that came rushing back into me, I remember the day that I walked in the locker room and my locker was empty. Just like it was yesterday. I hadn't thought about that in 50 years. When I opened that locker and it was empty, I remember closing the locker, turning around, walking out the locker room. I got in my old 58 Chevy. It wasn't old then, 58 Chevy. I got in that car and drove away, and I never went back to school until I went to night school that semester, and I graduated on time with my friends. But I remember thinking, this was all my fault. I remember thinking, in that moment, when I closed the locker, I didn't go find the coach. I didn't go do anything. I just turned around and said, wow, this is all my fault. And I walked away. That was 50 years ago, and I hadn't thought about that literally in 50 years. I turned and I walked away. And I remember thinking, this is all my fault. So when you ask me, am I worthy of it? All I can think of, this is all my fault.
What's all your fault?
All these traumatic things that have happened.
Is it your fault?
Well, I realize now that no. I've had a lot of adults in my life let me down.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't come to the table. They didn't do what adults are supposed to do in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And they let me down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not my fault.
Yeah.
That's not my fault.
So let me ask you this. I agree. But if it's not your fault, which is true, why would you want to carry all that burden?
Well, the good news is I didn't know I was carrying it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know. I forgot this. I hadn't thought about that in 50 years. I didn't know. I didn't know that it was a burden. But what I discovered when I looked through the history, there are a number of things that happened. Well, I just walked away and said, well, if I hadn't done this, then this would not have happened. If I hadn't done this, I would accept the blame for not doing or being enough. If I'd gone on to college, if I'd done all these things, then I wouldn't have been in those situations. But in spite of that, God's grace and mercy has brought me to this point. So I have to say this. Now that these things are being unpacked, I'm the adult now, yeah, talking to that little boy. And say, no, there are some adults who let you down. Now watch this. You're an adult. Don't you let you down. That just hit me, David. It's not like I've been carrying. This is hot off the press.
I like it.
You're the adult. Don't let you down. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're the adult. Don't let you down. I don't like you. You told me about this.
I did call my shot. I haven't said, I've only spoken for about 3 minutes this whole time.
Oh my God.
But whenever I told you, I said, I'm 18 for 18 of getting people an insight.
Woo!
You, like, we're done. We don't need to go any further. So let me leave you with this, and then we're going to wrap. What if you're not supposed to know what's on the other side of the wall? What if it's what if it's too much for you to handle at the moment? So what if it's, I'm going to take one of these bricks down instead of going over the wall. I'm just going to walk straight ahead. I'm just going to take one of the bricks down.
I think we just grabbed one.
Oh, that was a big one. Because, you know, my Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And also says, he also says you're a masterpiece. Now, a masterpiece is not like that painting behind you above your head there. That's not a masterpiece. That was printed by in some shop. Masterpiece is, that's one of one. Well, of the 7.5 billion people that live on this planet at the moment, and the, however many billions have lived since then, there's been no one like you, and there will be no one else like you. So I think that makes you, I think that qualifies you as special.
And the Bible says all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So it's all good, because now I'm the adult in the room.
Well, yeah. Okay. So a lot of people say that Romans 8:28, a lot of people say that, but let me read to you the two verses before Romans 8:28.
Sure.
New Living Translation for those keeping score at home. Now, is this not fitting for exactly what we were just talking about? You said, I don't know how to get over the wall. I don't know what's on the next side of the wall. Listen to what verse 26 says. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words.
Yes.
27. And the Father who knows all hearts, what does all mean? All means all. And that's all that all means. Okay. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. And then it goes into 28. We all know that things, everything work together for good. But you remember, like, when the children of Israel were crossing, not the Red Sea, the Jordan River.
Right.
Okay. If you notice, the water didn't start parting until they stepped into the water.
Exactly.
They had to get their feet wet. So I'm going to leave you with that. Maybe it's, maybe you don't have to get over the wall. Maybe you just tear the wall down and just walk straight. Take a brick here, take a big brick here, take a little brick here, take a big brick here, and just walk forward.
I was talking to a friend of mine earlier. And he said, it's like speed bumps. Getting over that wall is like a speed bump. And I said to him, they only have speed bumps where there's congestion. You're not going to get a speed bump going down the freeway, but going through the congested neighborhoods and residential districts, business districts, you may find speed bumps.
Yeah, but they're not but they're not brick walls.
No, no. You just slow down.
You slow down, you go over the bump, and you just keep going.
And keep going.
You don't reverse. Oh, speed bump. I gotta reverse and go all the way back to my house and go back to where I'm going, or find another route with no speed bumps. No, you just slow down, you go over the speed bumps, and then you keep going about your business.
Mm-hmm. I am the adult in the room. That's huge. Wow. Okay, David.
Are you complete at this moment?
I am I complete at this moment?
Yeah.
I'm absolutely complete. I just need to take a brick down. Just take a brick at a time.
I heard Jim Quick, who wrote the book Limitless, he said, what did he say? Yard by yard is hard, inch by inch, it's a cinch.
Yard by yard is hard, inch by inch is a cinch.
Thanks for playing with me today. It's been fun.
Thank you.